It is the spirit of wisdom on Daniel. Daniel is just a historical figure, a true one. Daniel has died. Yes, yes, he is now with the Lord. But the spirit upon Daniel is available today. And that spirit, we have identified it, is the spirit of wisdom. When the spirit of wisdom comes upon our life, we will be able to do the right thing in the right way, where no fault can be found. The only fault that can be found, of course, is with his God and his faith in God. And they found fault with his faith in God because Daniel in verse 10 prayed to God. And I like what he did. 3 times a day, he gave thanks to God. Don't you think he's someone who really gave God the glory? 3 times a day, he knelt down and he said, "Thank you, God." He's an old man now. He did it when he was young until now. All his days, he says here in verse 10, as was his custom since early days. So now when the problems come and the tests come and they're going to throw him to the lion, Daniel had no problems. The Bible tells us here, and when they throw him, verse 16, the king says, "Your God whom you serve, he will deliver you." Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, and we know all the famous story, how the lions could not touch his life. But here's a wonderful thing here, that it all came through his prayer life. God did not save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. He saved them through the fiery furnace. God did not save Daniel from the lion's den. He saved Daniel through the lion's den. God doesn't save you from the temptation. He saved you through the temptation. God doesn't save you from the hardship. He saved you through the hardship. Because God is also training us in the process. Now praise God that Daniel learned to pray before he went into the lion's den. He didn't just get into the lion's den and say, "Oh God, how to pray? Father, his leg is gone. In heaven, the other leg gone." He learned to pray when he was young. And by the time he went in, he just need to rest. There is a time to pray. There's a time when it's too late to pray. Believe me, there is a time when it's too late to pray. If you don't say your prayers early, you may not have a chance to say it. You remember Jesus and his disciples in the garden at Gethsemane? Jesus said, "Come on, fellas, pray." They all were nodding. 3 times he came to them. "Pray, pray that you don't enter into temptation." They were so sleepy. Finally, when it's too late, Jesus came and said, "Get up, arise, it is time." It's too late now to pray. And they all failed miserably. There is a time when it will be too late to pray. When you're in a lion's den, lions don't wait until you finish your prayers. Too late. It was time to rest in God. Now we come to the other exciting part, which all have to do with prophecy. From chapter 7 to chapter 12, we have dealt at length with Daniel's life. From chapter 7 to chapter 12, all is a flow of prophecy. And the way that is brought forth is to bring to us the revelation of the Antichrist. That's Daniel's special revelation. Let's look at the prophecy section from chapter 7 to chapter 12. First of all, we see the four beasts. The four beasts. And each of the four beasts represents something. We just give them to you. In chapter 7 verse 4, the lion that had the eagle's wings represent the Babylonian Empire. In the end, the man's heart was given all this as to it. Nebuchadnezzar, who is a symbol, chapter 5. Another beast, a second like a bear, came with three ribs in his mouth. That is the Medo-Persian Empire. And they said thus to it, "Arise, devour much flesh." Verse 6. The third beast is a leopard. That's the Greek Empire. The fourth beast in verse 7. A fourth dreadful, terrible, exceedingly strong one. That's the Roman Empire. It had huge iron teeth and it was devouring, breaking in pieces, trampling the residue. Then here's this revelation in verse 8. As I consider the horns, there were 10 horns on the four beasts. There was another little horn, little one, coming up from among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, a mouth speaking pompous words. That's the Antichrist. So he saw the revelation of Antichrist. In chapter 7, he saw the four world empires. And the revelation is that the Antichrist will arise out from the Roman Empire. There's a revelation in chapter 7. And the details are given here in verse 19. And I wish to know the truth about the four beasts which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful with his teeth of iron and his nails of bronze, which devour, broke in pieces and trampled the residue with his teeth. And about the 10 horns that were on his head, and the other horn which came up, before which three fell, namely the horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. Verse 23, the angel revealed to him, "The four beasts shall be the fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms." Now it's interesting that our Bible talks about the end of the world. And it talks about nations that rise and fall. This Bible contains sacred prophecies that govern the whole earth, to show us that God Almighty's hand is on this earth. And he says here that the 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first. Now the interesting thing is that both here in chapter 7 and chapter 8 that you see that the kingdoms are all symbolized as different animals. And there are significance in that. Now let's go to chapter 8. In verse 4, I saw the ram pushing westward, northward and southward. Verse 3 and 4, who is this ram? The Medo-Persian Empire. Then verse 5, I was considering, suddenly a male goat came from the west, across the surface of the whole earth, without touching the ground. That means speed. See, every phrase in prophecy has a meaning. Without touching the ground is speed. The male goat represents the Greek Empire, which was led by Alexander the Great. And if you read history, Alexander the Great advanced speedily, very fast in his advancement. So that's the male goat, the Greece Empire, the Empire of Greece. And verse 8, the male goat grew very great, but when he became strong, just at the peak of his career, when he became strong, the large horn was broken, and then in its place, four notable ones came up. Strangely, if you ever read the full historical records about Alexander the Great, as Alexander the Great was marching into the glorious land of Israel, before he came, he had a funny dream. He dreamt of a high priest, the Jewish high priest, coming and approaching him. And then as he came into Jerusalem, the high priest that day wore his full garment and went out to meet Alexander the Great. It must have been a shock to him because it was his dream being fulfilled. And then the according to Jewish records, the high priest opened the scroll of Daniel and pointed out to Alexander the Great that his coming has been prophesied. That must have been a great shock, a great surprise. Remember Isaiah's prophecy about Cyrus the king. Even before it happened, the Bible talks about it. But the revelation in chapter 8 is, see, the prophecies are progressive. In chapter 4, it tells you the Antichrist comes from the Roman Empire. Now in chapter 7, it tells you it comes from the Roman Empire. In chapter 8, it tells you that the Antichrist will come from one of the four parts of the former Greek Empire. You read carefully, there's a progression in the prophecy. Chapter 8, verse 8. When a male goat grew very great, and he became strong, the large horn was broken, and in place of it, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven. Verse 9, and out of one of them came a little horn which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. Now, the empire of Alexander the Great, when he died, was divided into four different sections. There was some confusion at first, but finally it settled down into four different sections, four divisions led by four generals. One of them was Cassander, General Cassander, who took over Greece and Macedonia. And then the General Lysimachus took over Asia Minor, Turkey and Thrace. And then General Seleucus took over Syria and Babylonia. And then General Ptolemy took over Egypt. So the empire was divided into four parts. Now it says, verse 9, out of one of those four areas, the Antichrist shall arise. There is a greater closeness. Now, if you look carefully, in verse 22, verse 20 and 21, the angel interpreted the vision. The ram which you saw is the kings of the Media and Persia. It's the Medo-Persia Empire. Verse 21. The male goat is the kingdom of Greece. See, specifically mentioned. The large horn that is between its eyes is its first king. As for the broken horn and the four that stood up in its place, four kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power. Now, after that full stop in verse 23, it goes into the future. It says, in the latter time of their kingdom. In other words, out of those four sections, there was Greece and Macedonia, Asia Minor, Syria and Egypt. Now today we have these nations still around. We still have the nation of Greece, the nation of Turkey, the nation of Syria and the nation of Egypt. Now understand me, we will only deal with historical records. It is my policy and my principle that we only will deal with history. Although we talk about nations, we cannot help it. It's part of Bible study, right? And it's my personal policy that Christians should not be interfering and meddling with policies of state or government, etc. Our role for governments today is to pray. Is that very clear? And we are dealing with history, records of historical areas, and dealing with areas as we interpret the Bible on prophecies that are to come. Now, these four nations are still in existence, but in a smaller scale.